Welcome to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Harder. Thank you so much for joining me, especially if you are on my YouTube channel watching there, if you are video inclined, or if you're just listening. Thank you, thank you. This is episode 4, the second part of my interview with my essay, spilling all the tea on how to have the best relationship. And we are starting right in the middle of the interview with Chase because it was such a great interview and I didn't have the heart to cut any of it. So last week, if you haven't heard that one already, last week is episode 3. It is the first part of this interview. And this week is episode 4, the second part. We're starting off right when we're about to get into some juicy stories and a bit of fun and laughs. So stay tuned for an awesome episode. The second part of the interview starts now.
Okay, number 8. I don't know if this is putting you on the spot, forgive me, but what's your favorite things that your best clients do? Or can you, because is there anything that's like, you know, common throughout everybody that you're like, you know what, this particular, I know you mentioned one of them, which is like, hey, don't freaking shop online, shop with me. Thank you. But is there anything else that's like a common thread throughout other clients that you're like, this is like my favorite thing that my favorite clients do. It makes it so much easier to work with them or anything like that.
I love when my clients show just like a little bit of humanity. And I'll elaborate on that. It's the, yeah. Of course I'm at work and I'm in luxury sales, and of course you have to be buttoned up, but as soon as somebody like accidentally drops an f-bomb, or they're like my kid is being a total terrorist and they explain a little bit about their life and I can relate to them, that just builds the relationship a little bit better. I love getting to know, like, terrorist. I like getting to know what's going on in your life.
At the end of the day, it's all about relationships. That coined term that you always hear business people say, but like, it's the truth, isn't it? It's what makes the whole ship turn.
It's funny because before COVID, we were basically told not to do it because department stores weren't sure how it was going to look. And now it's like, they want everybody to do it.
Wow.
It's like, you need to open Instagram now.
Wow. Don't you love it? First on market. Whoop, whoop. We love that.
But I do point out that like it's a struggle for people who are working in retail now, as they're expected to have these Instagram accounts. And now the market is flooded with people who
Instagram accounts,
right, are operating via social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a whole nother like thing in itself. I mean, you're producing content all of a sudden versus, you know, just being sales. Now you're producing content that people need to like in order for an algorithm to push it out to the other people that already happen to follow you. And it's a whole game.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
And I will point out, since we're on that conversation.
Yeah.
A huge pet peeve of your social media people. Don't screenshot somebody else's story and send it to a different sales associate.
Mm,
we're
getting
working
into the real tea now, guys. Listen to me. This is the like the horcrux, the Achilles heel of every Instagram. If you want to be on someone's hate list so fast, you screenshot it. Screenshot their story of their shoe, send it to your sales associate and be like, hi, can you get me this? I don't know how they know, but they'll know.
Oh, and it's down to the point where like, I know some people's manicure colors at certain points. I'm like, this is this person in New Jersey. Maybe you should ask this person instead of asking me.
And, yeah.
You know, there are always excuses and there are reasons why, again, loyalty, but at the end of the day, the content that we produce, we spend a lot of time on it. So
right.
Reach out to the person who made the content. And if they can't get it for you, then reach out to your person.
Right. I actually had someone. This is so funny. This happened a while ago. I'm going to tell this story. This is a bit of tea, guys. Are you ready for this? So this is my dramatic story. So a lot of sales associates, they'll have lists that they will provide pictures to their, you know, clientele if they cannot post it on social media. And that's totally valid, right? You guys are allowed to do that. That's not me spilling something that's not allowed.
So internal communication is supposed to stay internal, but as soon as we have our own situation where we've worked through a list and we've created our own content, each individual sales associate has their way of sharing that with their clients. It could be on their stories. It could be individual texts. I've run photo albums that I've used for pre-sale. Right. You just need to reach out to your person and say, hey, how do you do this? I want to be on your list. Let's go.
Love it. So you're allowed to send pictures of like, say, brands you're not allowed to post on social or on social media, you can put that in your album that you share with your clients, right? That's valid.
As long as it's one-on-one.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's considered a one-on-one environment, which is like what an album is, right? If you're sharing an album of all the new items or the sales items that you have. Okay, cool. So that's a good info for you guys. If you don't have a sales associate, that's something that you can ask. That is how it works. Like, hey, can I go on your list for however you share new items that come in from this particular brand? Because I know you're not allowed to post them on your stories, something like that. There'll be happy to do that, right? So I had a sales associate. I hadn't looked at their photo album, right? I'm a part of a lot of photo albums, right? I'm an investor. I hunt for, you know, deals and different things. So I'm a part of a lot of photo albums. And I hadn't even checked their newest photo album. I didn't even know it was there, right? So I follow a personal shopper on Instagram. And let me just kind of tell you a bit about what personal shoppers are versus something what would be like maybe a reseller, right? Personal shoppers are people that have relationships with essays. And since essays are very limited on what they can post to their stories, sometimes a personal shopper will post it to their following and they can make a sale really easily, right? Via something that is in that store. And they're just basically facilitating that connection with the essay and charging you maybe 10% or something for facilitating that, you know, connection, right? Which I love. I would love to pay 10% because you got me an incredible deal on a pair of, you know, Chanel sales shoes that I would have never found out about or known about otherwise, besides me just following this personal shopper on Instagram, right? So it's a great way to also get deals if you don't have relationships with essays or you don't have like a huge buying history with anybody in particular. And so you don't really have a good in for finding good sales deals or getting offered good sales deals because, again, you don't have that like history already. Personal shoppers is your ish. That is totally a great way to do it because that's literally what they do. They just facilitate connections and they'll do everything for you. So you just say, hey, I want this. You send them their card information. You obviously want to make sure that this person is highly vetted and has all the reviews in the world because you do not want to share your card information with somebody just randomly on Instagram. I should preface that hardcore. Hear me now. Do not just do that. But typically what I actually do is I'll get like my Cash App or something and I'll use a Cash App card and I'll just put just enough money in that Cash App card for the purchase. And that's the card info that I share versus like a main debit card or credit card or something like that until I already have a relationship or develop a relationship with someone in particular, right? A reseller is not that. A reseller actually essays cannot work with. It is very like taboo, very no-no because a reseller is somebody that is selling an item that they found from a store for double the price or whatever it is because that would be considered making a profit on the item that they are shipping to you, right? Which again, I personally shop from resellers all the time. It's a great way to find deals on something that you wouldn't otherwise have found. But just to distinguish the difference, there are personal shoppers, which is just a facilitating of a relationship, and a reseller, which is making profit on an actual item, right? All right, cool. So I follow this personal shopper and she posted a item on her stories and it was a Dior piece. And I was like, oh my God, it was the best Dior piece I have ever seen in my life. It was a Dior ready to wear piece. And I was like, shut up. This is insane. This was a part of the 2020 situation where like so many designer pieces went on sale that were usually not on sale and like incredibly iconic classic colors that just never go on sale. And I was like, I have found the Hail Mary. I messaged her so fast. I was like, well, please, for the love of God, pick me. Oh my God, I don't know if I'm first, but I please, please. And I get it. And I get it. And I don't even know how I got it because I felt like I was late to the story and I got it. And I was like, whoa. So this is where the tea comes in. I get a text from an essay that I work with, you know, in general, right? I get a text going, hey, you shared my picture with someone else. And that's a big no-no. I really don't appreciate that. And like lectures me, right? And I was like, first of all, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, oh my God. First of all, I know the deal. I come to you like in reverence. I don't know what you're referencing, but I promise I did not. I know that rule very well. I'm loyal. I am not like sharing photos around whatever. And he was like, well, I see it on your buying history. And it's because I they just happened to have the same thing in two different sizes, mind you. It was not even the same size. So I don't know why he thought this in particular. But thought that I had shared the story from the album that I hadn't even looked at with someone else and bought it and like came to me like in wrath. And I was like, man, but that's like, guys, FYI, before you go looking at your clients' other essays that might be listening to this, before you go looking at your clients' buying history, it could have been, they just happened to see it on someone else's story. Don't think the worst. He was so great afterwards. Obviously I explained, and I'm sure he like learned a lesson from that too, that like maybe he jumped to a conclusion there, but it was quite the drama. And especially since I'm so like anti-drama, like I don't get in, I'm just not a drama person. I'm not it.
Right.
I'm too busy, to be honest. So it's like, I don't have the mental bandwidth to like, to get in the whatever. So I was like, I am the last person that you would ever have this issue with. Oh my God, I'm sorry. What?
Well, I mean, first thing first, your sales associate shouldn't have had that conversation with you. It's a little messy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to leave that alone. But
yeah,
I think coming from a sales associate, where I don't think that clients understand the magnitude of the trouble that sales associates can get into for sharing certain things in certain ways, up to the point of like termination.
Right.
So another good tip for people is, if you're going to screenshot, just cut out any kind of name or anything that ties whatever image you have from that person.
Right. Especially if that picture were ever to get to somebody that is in competition, in direct competition, and they wanted to be vindictive, that would be like a huge problem, obviously, for that essay that you screenshotted. And of course, all essays are, you know, they are in competition. So you want to be mindful of that. And especially if you're ever shopping with two different people from the same store, you know, that is going to be a real touchy area for you. So ideally pick one essay from one store, right? Okay. Next question. What's the best deal you've ever seen?
Oh gosh, I've been doing this for a very long time, Carter.
Oh my God, tell us. What is it?
Personally or for other people?
You know
about my Fendi coat that I got.
Yeah, I do know about the Fendi coat. I've tried to buy it from you many times.
That's probably the best deal that I've ever gotten. I'll send you photos so you can attach it. But so very oddly, I found it on a freight elevator. I found it on a freight elevator, like in transit to go to the department to be sold. A women's Fendi coat that was actually sized for a women's 4. And I said, hey, this looks a little big, and tried it on and it fit me. And just for reference, I'm like a middle America man. I'm like 6'3".
Man size.
I'm man size. So I put it on and I said, hey, she fits.
And it fit well, by the way.
It's like full black cashmere with leather pockets on one side and reverses to the full Zooka print on the other side. And it was retail like $5,000, and I got it for $900. Oh, and it had so the good Fendi dust bag and the Fendi hanger and the original tags. Full set.
And you're going to sell it to me, right? 100%?
Yeah, if I ever let it leave. I'm going to be buried in this coat. I know this. Even in Dallas, I don't get to wear it.
You never wear coats in Dallas.
But I bust it out. I wear it for the walk to the store, and then it comes off.
Oh, so good. Okay. And then the antithesis to that, what's the best deal you've ever sold someone? Oh my God, tell us.
Oh, there are so many. I'm going to preface this. Like I'm going to challenge anybody out there in the sales associate world, but I have a fantastic memory. If you ever message me and say like, Chase, I want this. I'm this size. I want you to find it for me. It gets logged in there. I don't remember phone numbers. I remember people's desires.
Love it. I don't know your name, but like, I know your profile picture.
Exactly. That's also, I hate the new DMs that you can't search for people accordingly and find them, because it's awful.
Yeah.
There are too many shoes to count, honestly.
Oh, come on. Best one. Best Chanel. Best Chanel shoe. Best Chanel shoe deal.
Curator Lab, that ballet flat in that sparkly tweed that you remember we first met in person and you inspected it for her. Oh, uh-huh. it was first markdown.
It
was before price increases too. So it was like $490 from $800, but yeah. It was a classic Chanel flat.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, $490, epic. But you also found me a really good deal. Louboutins, $220, right?
Oh, the 220 Louboutins. We love
the 220 Louboutins. That was a one.
Oh, I need to scroll through my tag photos real quick. I know that Luxon got a really good Gucci loafer for like $200 for me once. Let me scroll back.
Man, can you talk about the time that you could get Chanel bags for a deal?
My God.
You can't, okay. Right? You don't work there anymore.
I don't work there anymore. So
guys,
this is like,
guys,
when you talk about people remembering a certain memory in their life when they knew their life was going to change. this was March of 2020. Mm-hmm. I was working and I was dedicated to work because I knew life was about to get really weird. Like, yeah. All of my managers were being really weird about like, oh, we don't know if we're shutting down. Oh, we don't know if we're doing this. And then we got this email saying 10% off of everything in store purchase. And
shut
it said
up.
Right. But the email also said excludes designer. I need to preface the story. I wasn't even working this day. It was St. Patrick's Day weekend and I was out with friends and I was supposed to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day as one does. Uh-huh. Right. And I get this email about like this 10% off, and suddenly people from Celine boutiques and Chanel boutiques are texting me and saying like, hey, what does your client want? We're doing 10% off. And so immediately I'm just like, okay, I put my green beer down. I'm like, not doing that anymore.
About to get back to work. Chanel text me. All right, bye guys.
Yeah. So I text all of my people, and a lot of people didn't understand what I was saying when I said anything. Uh-huh. But when I text Luxa and I said anything, and she was like, medium classic flat, gold caviar, gold hardware.
I wish you could see my face dying.
Well, she said medium, and I said, yes, let me see if I can find it. And I couldn't find it, but I came back to her with the large, and she said, okay, I'll take it.
The jumbo, and meaning this, the jumbo double flap from Chanel. 10% off. And for everyone that just like, everyone is having a panic attack, we're all unified in our panic attack right now.
That's also never going to happen again.
Never going to happen.
Everybody, never going to happen again. It shouldn't have happened in the first place, but managers told me, hey, we'll do it. And I said, okay, I'm going to look out for my clients. And Lisa is one of my best ones. So I said,
let's do it.
Let's do it. What do you want?
And that was it. And then she posted about it, right? She posted about it. And everybody freaked out.
I'm never going to be able to top that. I hope everyone here that's listening knows that. Like,
yeah, that's never going to happen again, guys. Don't ask him like, hey, so I heard that you can get Chanel bags for 10% off. That's a no.
Basically, I peaked 2 days before the United States shut down. So thank you for coming to my Carter talk.
Right.
Nordstrom, I think, caught a little bit of a backlash for this, but it was... it was supposed to be intended as a thank you for coming into the stores when public safety was kind of up in the air.
Oh,
you know, people weren't getting in large crowds. It was a weekend. They were trying to drive business. It wasn't supposed to be broadcasted. It was supposed to be a surprise and delight moment of like, hey, thank you. We know that it's a weird time right now. Here's 10% off your purchase. But
love it.
The internet did what the internet did.
Of course. I mean, who okayed that? Poor thing.
Nobody,
doesn't work for
Nordstrom
anymore.
Blue, all I know is that I got my girl a bag that she wanted.
Right. And
this was also before like
collectively.
This was before the last like 6 or 7 price increases too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So like
she got a jumbo for like I think $5,000 versus $10,000.
Don't even tell me that.
Now.
Don't I'm even sorry. Tell me that. Stop.
I think that I also texted you. Or no, I met you post COVID.
Yeah. No, you know why? I met you because of that. I'm remembering. I met you because she posted about you and I was like, who can get bags for 10%? I'm sorry, what? Who's this person? I've never clicked an essay link so fast in my life. And I was like, hi. You know what's so funny? I was remembering back because I was like, it was so new. Nobody had really shopped from essays on Instagram before 2020. That was like not even, at least, I mean, okay, not nobody. Obviously it was a thing, but not anywhere near as big as it is now or regulated or normal. And so sending, it seemed for me, sending somebody that my card just like randomly that said that they worked at Nordstrom or, you know, Neiman Marcus or whatever, it was like, so like, what, who, I don't know. I think I remember you posted, this was like, cause you were the first person I think I've ever shopped with on Instagram. Cause this was really, really? It's like not a lot of people. Yeah. Not a lot of people did that. It was just like, I had everybody on text and I would, when I travel, I get them on text and then I have, and then they text me whatever, like I'm interested in or whatever. Right. Like it was all old school. I did it the old school way. And you posted a picture of a Burberry, shirt. I bet you don't even remember this. And I was like, hey, do you do PayPal? Because I wanted the protection. And you were like, no, like we can't do PayPal. Like I can only do it through the store. And I was like, oh, never mind. I don't know.
So what I remember is you asking me about a pair of Chanel flats. And this was back in my day. Do you remember the Chanel loafers you got that had the little pearls in the CCs?
Yeah, yeah. But that was the second thing I bought from you. At first, the very, very beginning, I asked you about a Burberry. And then I was like, and then you were like, no. And I was like, oh, this guy, like, I don't trust him. Nah. Nah, man. And then you kept posting things that were really good. And I was like, maybe I should give him a second chance, to be honest. I think I was too hasty in my original assumption. You know what? I'm going to reevaluate and come back because I see Chanel now. And before I was.
He said, I'm here for the Chanel. Let me have it. I will jeopardize my credit for this.
Right? Exactly. I was like, do I get, maybe do I lose my identity? But like, is it worth it for $500 Chanel pairs of shoes? Maybe. I mean, yes. Maybe, to be honest.
But also on that note, since you're having this podcast, there are safe ways to send your payment info to somebody virtually.
Ooh, love it. What is it?
Do I tell? Mean, Instagram isn't. I'm not going to say that Instagram's secure because I don't know. I'm not the owner of Instagram, but WhatsApp is free. You download WhatsApp. It's fully encrypted on both ends. It operates through phone numbers. If your sales associate isn't willing to open a WhatsApp to get your payment information or to take your phone call, find somebody who is.
Interesting. I would never have guessed WhatsApp because I thought WhatsApp technically like sells your information just so you can get marketed at better. But is it not? Is it?
I've never heard that. From what I've been told, WhatsApp is fully encrypted as far as like what you send between, like in your conversation, everything's fully encrypted.
Wow. I know too, for Instagram, this is what I do is I send a picture and then once it's done, I unsend the picture because then it unsends on both sides.
And there's also vanish mode now too, which is really great. So right. If you're not familiar with vanish mode, you turn that on and as soon as the message is read, it disappears. So it's right. Not stored anywhere.
And that's a great way. I didn't even think about vanish mode. I forgot all about that. That's totally better. Yeah. Interesting. That's a good one. Okay. Last and final question, guys. How great has it been for him just chatting with us about all the details? Very final question. Favorite client experience. Is there one that jumps out to you? End on a fun favorite story.
This.
What?
This? You, I said this. Being you being podcast. A client and asking me to be on a podcast.
I love it.
Honestly, I'm going to go back. I just love the relationships that I've been able to build in my career. I mean, via Instagram or in person.
You're going all Fuji on us. You're not going to tell me by the time somebody dropped 20K with you? Come on.
That happens. I mean, it's Neiman Marcus. That just happens.
Right. And all right, 50K. This, is that better? 100K. Yes. Someone drop 100K in one go with you.
There's money and then there's fulfillment. And I luckily found a career that provides both.
Right.
Just getting to know people and getting to be a part of people's lives. Like, I don't just know like my clients' lives. I know their children's names. I know their birthdays. I actually know these people, and it's just a pleasure to get to know. I mean, at this point, 16,000 plus people, and to get to invite them into my life as well.
Absolutely. But someone's ever spent with you? Tell us. Give us
at
the number.
One time.
Uh huh. One time. What's the most somebody spent with you dropped? In one,
you know, I have said this before, but a gentleman does not kiss and tell.
Oh, leaving us tease. He's a tease.
I am. And I hope that everyone listening respects the fact that your life and your transactions are safe with me.
That was good marketing, if nothing else. You can't crack them, guys. I tried. All right. I tried for everybody. Everybody wanted to know.
It's just been great. I think one of my favorite things that I've done this year, and this is going to sound really corny, is I actually got to interview with a client / former coworker so that she could quote me in her thesis paper for her graduation project. And I was just really happy that she came to me to work with me for that. So yeah, that's probably my highlight of the year.
Oh, I love it. How cool is that? Well, thank you so much again for being on the podcast with me. I hope you guys all enjoyed. Again, you absolutely must go follow him at Calvin, _selects. Just Calvin Selects.
Calvin, C-A-V as in Victor, I-N.
Not Calvin, not to be confused with Calvin, like I was for the first year of our relationship. It's Calvin Selects, that's his last name. And he has posted amazing pictures too. I mean, he's just a joy to follow in general if you just love the eye candy. Thank you so much again. I will be sure to chat with you later and invite you back for a round two if anybody has any questions, guys, leave them down below in the comments so we can pull from it later. If there's enough juicy questions that we can make another episode, we'll do that.
Maybe in person next time.
Oh, in person? Do you guys want to see his glorious face? A little, not just a little.
Just take a little road trip and we can have a little video conference next time.
I love it. I love it. All right, guys. Well, now we have to make it happen. So now you have to leave your juicy questions that I didn't ask in this episode so we can ask in the next one. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Thank you again. Bye.
Goodbye.